Morning. Today's daf in Temura is Chaf Vav. We're on the bottom of Chaf Hey Amud Beis. Just a little bit more to do until we start with the new Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah yesterday, we started the new parak yesterday, the fifth parak of Temura. And the fifth parak of Temura opens up with the topic of Lados. Okay, not exactly Temura, but it's similar, as I mentioned yesterday. Temura is derivative. You're taking a carbon and you are extending that kedusha to another animal. So vlados, same basic idea. You start with an animal, and because it's a female animal, and because it got pregnant and it had an offspring, so once again you are extending that kedusha now to a derivative from that animal. The first Mishnah in the Perek talked about transferring the kedusha before it's born, and rather changing the kedusha before it's born, because before the birth of a bechor, it does not have the status of a bechor until after it's born or upon emergence. And so that means to say that in utero, you could be makdish it as another karban. That's what we discussed in the first Mishnah. In the second Mishnah, so we talked about giving a status, a dual status to the vlad. If you point to the vlad, you don't have to point. But if you point to the vlad and you say that this is shel ola v'shel shlamim, that you are going to be giving it a dual kedusha of ola and shlamim, so what becomes of that statement? So we learned yesterday, machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. This is a classic debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi in terms of any time a person makes a commitment that has a duality to it and has two parts to it. So Rav Meir consistently throughout Shas says, tfos lashon rishon, that you're always going to take the first statement and only accept the first statement and just simply ignore the second statement. And so therefore, Rav Meir yesterday told us that if you say the vlad is an ola and it's a shlamim, so according to Rav Meir, the animals are shlamim. See, the, shozu ola vihi shlam, I'm sorry, the, sorry, if you, let me just be clear about the case. If you say vlada shozu ola vihi shlamim dvarav kayamim, hi shlamim of vlada ola, the mother you say you designate as a shlamim, and the vlad now you want to change and make it to become an ola, so Rav Meir says that doesn't work. Meaning the vlad is going to be what the mother is, because tfos lashon rishon, because we're going to go with the first thing that he says. Rav Yossi, on the other hand, again throughout Shas and in the Mishnah also, says no. A person cannot say two things at the same time, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Relevant to this week's Parsha. Kadosh Baruch Hu can say two things at the same time. Zachar v'shomer b'dibur echad. So, but we can't do that. So Rav Yossi says, so obviously you have to allow the person to finish a sentence. And so therefore, when he designates the mother as an ola and the vlad as a shlamim, so dvarv kayamim. So both statements are going to be accepted. That's the opinion of Rav Yossi. And then at the end of the Mishnah, Rav Yossi says, well, let's say he made the first statement definitively, and then he said, you know what, I changed my mind. So once you say you changed your mind, that's too late. That's what we learned at the end of the Mishnah. Nimlach v'amar v'lada ola harezeh v'lada shlamim, if you change your mind. And to which the Gemara now is commenting, and so here we are picking up right where we left off yesterday. At the two dots, imshama harezeh shlamim nimlach, after designating the animal to be shlamim, you change your mind, pshita v'lada shlamim. So the Gemara is just bothered by a simple question. If you change your mind, well, you can't change your mind, meaning once you gave it a designation, a status, so that's it. The status maintains. So Ella kol emas dabai mimlach, Ella kol emas dabai mimlach, anytime you want, you can just simply change your mind. Of course you can't. So Amra papalo nisrucha lo shamar besoch de dibor, ma'u de tema toch de dibor ke dibor, v'hai iyunahu de kama'ayin kamash malan. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Chiddush of the Mishnah is that you could have made the argument that if you change your mind, tokidei dibur, that would work. Now, what that means is as follows. Whenever you make a statement, so you always have a couple seconds to retract from that statement. And that's the principle of tokidei dibur. So if I say something and I want to retract from that statement, so tokidei dibur, I could do so. That's fine. If, however, even betokidei dibur, I'm stating that I'm having a hamlacha. In other words, what I said originally, I meant. But now I'm just simply having a second thought. And you know what I want to do? I want to do something else. So under those circumstances where it's not that I put it out there and now I'm just processing and thinking and have the right to retract. I'm actually articulating and saying, no, I really did mean that, but now I want to change my mind. And when you speak in those terms, even toch de dibor, it simply doesn't work. Okay.
That's only by hekdesh or by everything?
It's a good question.
No good.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay, we are now in the Mishnah Chaf Hei Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud. Harizu Tamur Ola Tamur Shlamim. Okay, so here's a scenario. Now, remember, we're putting now a lot of ideas together. So obviously, we're transferring kedusha from one carbon to another, and in order to set the stage correctly, So what I have over here, if I have two carbonates in front of me. I have an ola and I have a shlamim. Now, again, under the general umbrella of activity you shouldn't be doing at all, because this is tamura, and the Torah says not to, but again, as we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, you shouldn't, but at the same time, if you did, it's effective. You have a carbon ola, you have a carbon shlamim in front of you. You are now going to be transferring the kedusha from both carbonos onto a single animal. And the statement that you make while you do this is, hareiz de tamuras ola, tamur shlamim. I want the kedusha ola from the carbon ola to go into this one animal. And then you say, I want the kedusha of the shlamim to be transferred into this very same animal. Now, obviously an animal cannot have two kedushas. An animal can either be an ola or it can be a shlamim. It obviously cannot be both. And on top of that, we have to look at what you said sequentially. You said first, hareze tumur ola. So hareze tumur ola divrei meir. So meir says, okay, so the first statement is the one that's going to stick. And again, consistency within the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, tfos lashon rishon. And so therefore the lashon rishon is, you said tumur ola. And so therefore this animal now is only going to have the kedusha of a carbon ola. It will be a tumur ola. Amar Rav Yossi, im lechein eskavin tchila ho v'iyesh likros beis shemus ka'achas dvarv kayamin. So again, Rav Yossi says, look, we have to acknowledge that there is human limitations. He wanted both. He could not say both simultaneously. So you obviously have to let him finish the sentence. He first says, hareze tumur sola. He then says, hareze tumur shlamim. We have to entertain that he meant both. And so therefore, this animal is going to be chatzi chatzi. Half of it's going to be a tumur sola, and half of it's going to be a tumur shlamim. What we're going to do with the animal, so I'm going to explain in just a moment. Now, if he first start off by saying that's a tumur sola, and then clearly stating, hey, you know what? I want to change my mind. Meaning, I did say tumur sola, and I meant tumur sola, but I now want to change my mind. So Rav Yossi says, even under those circumstances, I acknowledge you do not have the right to retract. Okay. So again, we are having the same machlokes in Rami and Rav Yossi, but now we bring it back to the topic of tamura. So I have two karbanos, and I'm transferring the kedusha of both karbanos onto one other animal. So according to Rav Yossi, because we allow for the totality of the statement, so now for the both kedusha of the ola and the shlamim are going to rest upon this animal. What do I do with this animal? Rashi explains. Rashi on the bottom of the Rashi, the last Rashi in the Yamun. Dvarv kayamim v'chetzia tamura ola v'chetzia tamura shlamim. So this animal is going to have half kedusha ola, half kedusha shlamim v'tir eh. And let it graze. And so what we're going to do is we're going to let it graze and then sell it. Sorry, allow it to develop a blemish, then sell it. Proceeds of the sale, half of it will go to Tamura Sola, half of it will go to Tamura Shlomen.
Wait, what if the amount of money is not sufficient for both?
Yeah, so you're going to have to supplement.
What's the point of doing half then?
Well, that's all you have in this animal. You have to manifest the kedusha and actually turn it into a carbon.
The thing is that if the amount of money that he gets from the sale is not sufficient, right?
Yeah.
So could you argue that he should spend as much as he can on the first one that he said, and then the rest falls in, or there has to be that money?
It's chatzi chatzi. Is there the split? the kedusha split. Okay, we turn to the topic of Chavav Amin Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochan, HaKol Modim, Be'omer Tachol Zu, V'achar Kein Tachol Zu, Divrei HaKol Tfos Lashon Rishon. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yossi now wants to create a little more agreement between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi. In the Mishnah, in this last Mishnah, and also two Mishnahs ago as well, so Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi are having this debate of, when a person is making a statement that the first and second one do not agree, so do we try to create a synthesis between the two statements? Or not even a synthesis, but just basically we entertain both statements, that's Rav Yossi. Or no, do we just simply say Tfos Lashon Rishon? And so what we've seen now is the Machlokas. Rav Yitzchak is going to do is he's going to really try to minimize the Machlokas between the two. So let's start off where he feels that there's going to be a point of agreement. That if you say Tachozu v'achar kach tachozu, divrei hakol Tfos Lashon Rishon. If your statement was clearly a sequential statement, where you say that I want this kedusha to go, and only afterwards I want this kedusha to take effect, so then Tfos Lashon Rishon, according to everybody, even Rav Yossi would agree under those circumstances, because he articulated that this is going to be one kedusha and then followed by another kedusha, so So the first kedusha and only the first kedusha sticks. Lo tachozeh ela im kein chalta zu tarvay kache. And if your statement is that I only am going to allow this kedusha to take effect, but only under the conditions that the other kedusha is also going to take effect, so then clearly what he's articulating is that he wants both kedushas to manifest into this karban, and there once again we have machlokas. Even Rav Meir, who says tfos lashon rishon, but you cannot separate the two statements, and therefore even Rav Meir would agree. Lo nechlechu ela kegon mishnasenu. The machlokas is going to be in the case specific to our mishnah. Damar tamur sola tamur shlamim de Rav Meir savrami da havala lememar tamur sola vishlamim. Look, Rav Meir says as follows: if he wanted both kedushas to transmit over to this animal, the statement that he should have said, if he wanted both, is Tumors Ola Vishlamim. By virtue of the fact, Va'amar Tumors Ola V'Tumor Shlamim, Havile Kalmar Tachuzu V'Achakach Tachuzu. So according to Rameir, because he said Tumors Ola, and then he said what Rameir feels is a redundant Tumuras Shlamim, he could have just left out the second Tumura. So by virtue of the fact, Rameir is saying essentially what he's saying is sequential. I want first the tumura of the ola, then I want the tumura of the shlamim. But now, once it's sequential, as we stated, everyone agrees, only the first kedusha, not the second. Rav Yossi savri iyamar tumura ola v'shlamim hava amina kedusha ve'ena kreva. So Rav Yossi says no. The reason why the person articulated the neder and he did not want to say tumura ola v'shlamim is because then we would have thought that yes, maybe it has kedusha, but ain't a kreva, but it should not be offered. That kedusha should not be offered. So kamashman, the chiddush is that no, that under these circumstances, it's going to have kedusha, and that kedusha is going to be offered. Now, when I say the kedusha is going to be offered, again, not that we're going to be offering this hybrid of tamura of tamuras ola and tamur shlamim as a karban, but what it means is that we're going to redeem the kedusha from this animal and apply half of it towards the Tumur Sol and half of it towards the Tumur Shlamim, meaning it actually has Kedusha Saguf. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara now is going to present to us numerous brises that are basically going to go over the same point. These brises are going to seem a little bit repetitive in nature, little chidushim coming out of here and there, but you'll see as we get onto the later brises, so there's going to be a chidush to be stated. So here we go with the brisa. Hamar behemazu chesia tumura ola vechesia tumur shlamim kula tikrav ola divrab meir. So this first brisa that we're learning is basically the same thing of the Mishnah. I want half of it to be a tumur sola. I want the other half to be a tumur shlamim. So to kula tikrav ola div Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says the whole thing's an ola. Again, this is Rav Meir l'shita. So tfos lashon rishon. V'chachamim amrim tira ashi tistai v'timakar v'yevai b'demei chetzia tumur sola v'demei chetzia tumur shlamim. Good. And according to the Chachamim, like Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, so he says, well, no. You're going to let a graze develop a blemish, sell it, half the proceeds towards tumur sola, half the proceeds towards Tumur Shlamim, just like our Mishnah. Now, the Breisa over here is a little bit confusing because then the Breisa says, Am Rav Yossi, Im Lekach Niskavim Mitchila Hovi Yev Shalosi Shtei Shemes Kachas Varev Kayamim. Rav Yossi says, look, that's what he meant originally, but you can't say two things simultaneously, so we have to allow him to finish the sentence and apply both parts of the sentence. Now, in this Breisa, structurally, we have first the opinion of Rav Meir, then the opinion of the Chachamim, and then the opinion of Rav Yossi. You probably noticed that Rav Yossi and the Chachamim are saying essentially the same thing. And that's the Gemara's question. Rav Yossi Heine Rabbanan Kula, Rav Yossi Ketani La. So the Gemara, just in terms of clarifying the Braisa, says very simply that the Chachamim and Rav Yossi are in fact saying the same thing. It's just that Rav Yossi is explaining the Chachamim. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Behema Chetzia Ola Vechetzia Chatas, Tikrav Ola Div Rav Meir. Okay, so now in this next Braisa, once again, we're dealing with the same basic topic. But the notable change in this particular brisa is that you say that half the animal is an ola and the other half being a chata. So tikkur of ola, so it should be offered as an ola. Div Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Amar Tamas. Now Rabbi Yossi says that the animal is going to be assigned for death. Now this part is going to be a little bit tricky because half ola, half shlamim, you understand. Those are two voluntary karbanos that you can assign to an animal even though you have no pre-existing obligation. In other words, it's a nedava or a neder. But over here, chatas is really binary. Either you owe a carbon chatas or you don't owe a carbon chatas. You cannot volunteer to offer a carbon chatas. So over here, what is going on in this particular scenario? If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi behema chatia ola v'chatia chatas tikrav ola. So the So the, I'm sorry, look at the next Rashi. Tamus, af begmar dvarav adam nitfas, v'ihu eino mechuyav chatas, hilkach tamus. So the way Rashi understands the scenario is that this person is not chayv a carbon chatas. And he's not chayv a carbon chatas, so as a result of that, when he says ola chatas, so according to Reb Meir, I could just ignore the second statement, because again, tfos lashon rishon, according to Reb Meir. But according to Rav Yossi, you can't ignore the second statement. And so therefore, he assigned kedushas chatas to an animal where you're not obligated to bring it as a carbon chatas. And here's where it gets interesting. The way Rashi explains it is that because now it's a chatas that is unassigned, so therefore, we're going to simply dispose of it because we have nothing to do with it. Now, that is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, second to last Tosfos, so he is really bothered by this pshat. Perish Rashi daft gemar dvar vadam nisvas viu ena mechuyev chatas hilkach tamas v'kasha. So Tosa says, I really don't even understand how this works according to Rashi. Hechi chay la kedushas chatas ala klal. Well, I don't understand. If the person's not chayv a carbon chatas, and he designates the animal as a carbon chatas, it's basically, if you enjoy the analogy, you're shooting a blank. In other words, it's not a loaded gun. You don't have a chiyuv carbon chatas, and so therefore, there should be no kedusha manifesting. Rashi quotes the Gemara Nedarim. Ha'amar ben Nedarim da'afilo amar la'behem arizu chatas, imenu mechuyuv chatas la'amar klum. The Gemara Nedarim really could not be any clearer. If you try to give an animal kedushas carbon chatas when you're not obligated, so basically, lo'amar klum, you've said nothing. And so therefore, even in our case over here, where you say harizu ola, harizu chatas, and even if we are entertaining both statements, but the second statement simply has nothing behind it, and therefore should be totally disregarded. And so therefore, that's what makes Rashi's pshat really difficult in our Gemara. The Ri therefore gives an entirely different pshat. Lefichach perish Ri, dahachamari da'amar v'chetzia tumuras chatas. So the Ri says that the case over here is where you already have a carbon chatas, an existing carbon chatas, obviously for somebody who's obligated. And then what you do is you're transferring the kedusha from the carbon chatas to this animal in the manner which we just described, where half of it's an ola and the other half is tumuras chatas. V'hachi garsim b'tov sefta b'emezu chetzia tachas zu, ola v'chetzia tachas chatas, tikrav ola, Reb Yossi omer, tamos v'tam de Reb Yossi mishum d'shneim chayle. V'kevin d'ika alav tumuras chatas l'misa asa. And now it makes a lot more sense also in terms of what the result is. Meaning, what is the result? The result is it's l'misa. Now, from Rashi's standpoint, it's, again, difficult to understand. Meaning, there really are two difficulties for Rashi. One, how did the kedusha even transfer altogether? You're not chayv a carbon chatas. And then two, well, then it's going to be disposed of. What do you mean disposed of? In other words, there are only five cases where you take your chatas and you dispose of it. And giving something a chatas where no one's obligated carbon chatas is not one of the five. Tamur's chatas, on the other hand, is one of the five. So it's a lot easier to understand the Gemara Liba de Tosfos than it is a Liba de Rashi. Vishavin, back to the Gemara, back to the Braisa, there's agreement, Ba'amr Chatzia Chatas V'Chatzia Ola Shetamas. If, however, it's reversed, where you start off with the half of it being a Chatas and the other half being an Ola, so the animal is going to be disposed of, because over here, Reb Meir says Tfos Lashon Rishon is a Chatas. According to Rav Yossi, you have both, but half of which is a Chatas. So they both agree that it's going to be put to death. Vishavin Mani Reb Meir. So the Gemara says now, who's agreeing over here? Meaning, which position do we know and which position is coming on board? Reb Meir is coming on board. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, right? That's what we all would have figured. So, Ma'u detema ilav desham inan hava mina time de Reb Meir labishum tfos lashon rishon. The Gemara says, well, look, had the Braisa not made that last statement, I could have given a different svar behind Reb Meir, notably, elahainu time chatas mureves kreva. I could have said that according to Reb Meir, it's not based on whether we accept the first statement and reject the second statement, but maybe it's based on the fact that if the animal is in its entirety a chatas, so that's to be disposed of. But if the animal is only partly made of a chatas, maybe that's not to be disposed of. Maybe you would offer that. We could have offered that as a going svara behind Rabbi Meir. So kamash malan delam. If that were the correct svara, so even if I opened up with chetzi chatas and then chetzi ola, so then we'd offer it because it's not a full chatas, it's only a partial chatas. But by the braisa, by virtue of the fact that the braisa said at the end that if you say chetzi chatas, chetzi ola, it's put to death, clearly it's all about sequence and ordering.
But why don't you say tovus lo sharishna? That's he holds from that. You know?
Correct. It is the easier svar to say. We have other areas in halacha where we know that's a svar behind Reb Meir. It's a funny havamina. I agree with you because we know that Reb Meir subscribes to that svara, yeah. And then we're going to inject a different svar in Reb Meir. Right. I'm with you. Tanya Idach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Amar behemazu chetzi ola v'chetzi shlamim. I say that an animal is half ola, half shlamim. Kedusha ve'eno kreva. So it's going to have kedusha, meaning it's going to have kedusha saguf. It's not. It can't be offered. And osa tmura. And now, it can affect tmura. It can be the source animal of tmura. Utmura so kayotze bo, whatever you tmura it to, whatever you replicate it to, is going to be the same as this animal. Right, carbon copy. In this round of Tamura, I've limited the number of times I've said that what I feel to be a fantastic joke. But I certainly understand, however, where it can get tiresome. So anyway, so the second animal is going to be just like the original animal. Now the Gemara says, wait, give me one second. So Mani Rav Yossi Pshita. So the Gemara says, now who is the author of this Brisa? So the author of this Brisa is Rav Yossi, meaning because what we're doing obviously is we're entertaining both statements. So pshita de kedusha ve'eno kreva. So the Gemara says, well, obviously it's going like Rav Yossi because Rav Yossi is talking about the animal having kedusha but can't be offered. You see, according to Rav Meir, the animal has kedusha and can be offered because according to Rav Meir, we're only tfos lashon rishon, and so therefore the animal only has one kedusha and then go ahead, bring it on the mizbeach. By virtue of the fact that the Braisa says it can't be offered, is clearly entertained the opinion of Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says you're right, but tamura sa itzirich lei. The Gemara says, but that part is not where it becomes a chiddush. Where it becomes a chiddush, the idea of tamura. Ma'u detema nihida havya dehilo karva tamura sa tikrav. So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that it can't be offered, but its tamura can be offered. A really interesting suggestion on the part of the Gemara, even as a suggestion, it's really difficult. Because how could it be that the primary animal, the source animal, is in a position where it can't be offered, and meanwhile, we're entertaining. It's a havamina, but still we're entertaining. The idea where the secondary animal, the derivative animal, can be offered. So, kamash malan. Maishna hidala karva dihila dahavila kedusha dechuya. Tamura sanami mikol kedusha dechuya kasya. Now, the reason why I can't bring the primary animal is because, once again, it's straddling between two kedushas. It has half of it being kedusha zola, the half of the other half being kedusha shlamim, so it can't be offered. So at the same time, the Tamura, which is going to have that very same Kedusha, that too cannot be offered as well. The Havamina, by the way, that the Tamura can be offered when the primary cannot be offered. So see the Ban Tosfos, where he is bothered by this question, and he gives a suggestion in terms of how to even understand the Havamina. Okay, we're going to go on in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Chavav and Alf. I'm sorry, Danny.
No, basically you could do tamura to a hybrid and it'll affect more.
As long as the animal has kedusha saguf, so it can become a source of kedusha, and it can be the source of tamura. So as long as it has kedusha saguf, once it's kedusha bedek habayis, as we learned earlier, so then you cannot do tamura with it. The tamura only applies to a carbon, not to a non-carbon. And even though that carbon is not offerable, the best example would be a bamum. Remember, a Baal Mum animal, a Baal Mum carbon, so it had Kedusha Saguf, and then it becomes blemish, and now it can't be offered, and nevertheless, it can become a source of Tamura. So you see that even though a carbon is unofferable, there still can be a source of Tamura. Same thing over here.
Same status, though, for the Tamura.
Yeah, correct. It's a blemish, so. Correct. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Behemu Shnei Shutman. Rabbi Yochanan teaches us the following halacha. This halacha of Rav Yochanan is said and recorded numerous times throughout Shas, right? Three other times, as you see on the side of the Gemara. You have behema shel shnei shutfim, you have an animal that's owned by two partners. So obviously each partner owns 50% of the animal. Hikdish chetzia shelo. So one of the partners says, you know what? I want to be makdish my half. Okay. I want to be makdish my half, which he has every right to do so. He owns 50% of it. So he's going to be makdish his half. Here comes the problem. V'chazav laka chetzia cheres. And then he goes to his partner and he says, I want to buy you out in your half. And the other partner says, fine. Okay, I'm ready for a buyout. And so, nice, agreed buyout price. And now he becomes the owner of the second half of the animal. V'higdisha. So, and he's makdish the second half of the animal. So at the end of the day, he has just been makdish the entire animal. That's clear. The problem is, he only did it in halves. He was makdish the first half and then he was makdish the second half. When he was makdish the first half, was he makdish it with kedusha saguf? And the answer, of course, is no. He was not makdish with kedusha saguf. So because kedusha saguf, kedusha saguf is only when you're makdish it, you can offer it. And over here, he couldn't offer it because he was limited only to half the animal. So he was not makdish with kedusha saguf. So when he buys the second half of the animal, and he's makdish that second half of the animal, can it get elevated, can it get upgraded to having kedusha saguf? And what we're about to learn together is, no, it cannot. And let's see all this together inside. So v'higdisha kedusha v'ena kreva. Sorry, kedusha v'ena kreva. V'oset tamura v'tamura kayoseba. So it can have kedusha. And not only that, it can even affect tamura. But that tamura animal, of course, is going to have the same kedusha as it did as the primary animal. Why can it not be offered? Look at the bottom Rashi on this Amud. V'ena kreva. Ho umitzchila kishihikdish chetzia lo haisa ru'i likarev. Delo kasha lechetzia v'kevin delo have didei lo pashta kedusha v'ahi shaita v'kula. So you do not have his pashtas. The idea behind his pashtas we've seen already earlier in the Masechta. The idea that when you're makdish a part of an animal, and if it is a life-sustaining part of the animal, and we can easily say over here, not only easily, but it's factual, that half the animal is clearly life. The life of the animal is dependent on half the animal. You can't take half the animal away and still have the animal living. So when you say that your makdish is your half, so normally we'd say his pashtus. What's going to block his pashtus? The other half is owned by somebody else. You can only be makdish something that you own. Eina de makdish davishenu shalo. So that's why Rashi explains the kedusha and the original kedusha, the first 50%, is not going to go towards the mizbeach. But when you do acquire the second half and you are makdish the second half, it's going to have kedusha. It can even create a tamura. But it cannot be offered. Now, Tamur Kayoseba. Shema min atlas. So the Gemara says over here, three takeaway lessons from the statement of Rav Yochanan. Shema min, here we go, number one. Kedusha is damim nitche. The fact of the matter is that when you are, I'm going to work backwards. When you purchase the second half of the animal, so now you are a full owner of the animal and you're going to imbue it with Kedusha and it should be offered as a carbon, right? And so this is our first lesson. The first lesson is no, not right. Why? Because when you are makdish the first half by itself, so now it is what the Gemara just described as dechuya. It's now been rejected. Rejected why? Because right now it's not a full animal. It's only half an animal. Later I'm going to acquire the second half and I am going to be makdish the second half. Okay, but that's post-rejection. And so since it's post-rejection, so therefore that dichui is going to always and permanently reject this animal to be brought as a carbon. So kedusha damim nidcha. Shema mina, second point, is bale. Now in our Gemara we have the word mumim, but let's change it to chayim. Bale chayim nidachim. Now when this animal was rejected, was this animal alive or dead? The answer obviously is alive. The animal, we're only at the stage of being makdish the animal. And so even though it was rejected while being alive, that still can consider rejection. A machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, that in our Masechta we already saw numerous times, of whether or not Bale Chaim, live animals, is eligible for rejection. Rav has taught us consistently throughout the parak. We saw it already a couple of times recently, that Bale Chaim Einam Nidachim, that live animals are not rejected. But this Braisa does not subscribe to that. This Braisa is of the opinion that Bale Chaim Nidachim, because its rejection only came while it was alive, and still that's called a rejection. And point number three, dichui mikara havidichui. When we're talking about rejection, there are two categories in which we could describe it as. Number one, as nira v'nidche, as opposed to dichui mikara. What's the difference? Nira v'nidche means the animal was perfectly eligible to be offered as a carbon, and we set up as a carbon, and then it got rejected. So in other words, it was at the point where it was in a position of candidacy, and then for whatever reason, it got rejected. That's nira v'nidche. As opposed to dichui mikara, is that while we are nominating it as a carbon at that point, at the point of origination, it's already rejected. Which one is worse? Interesting. Nira v'nidche is worse than dichui mikara. Nira v'nidche, you were at the point where not only were you eligible, but you were a candidate. You were there and you were ready. And then at that point in time, it got rejected. That's worse than being rejected from the beginning. You could say being rejected from the beginning, that's not rejection. It just simply means we weren't ready. And then when the reason behind rejection is gone, so now we're ready. Okay, so dichui meikara is a bigger chiddush in terms of rejection than nirav v'nidche. And so the third thing we're learning together is that what does this fall under the category of? Dichui meikara. At the time when I'm nominating as a carbon, I'm consecrating as a carbon. At that early stage, it's already rejected. That's dichui meikara. Maybe that's not dichui. So what we're learning together is that, no, that according to this brisa, it is considered dichui. Okay, so three things that we're learning together based on this brisa. Amar Rabbi Akomon, Mechad Amar Chesia, Ola Vechesia Meiser. Okay, last halacha is regarding this case of putting in a dual kedusha into an animal. Everyone's in agreement that when you say chatsi ola v'chatsi ma'aser, half of it is going to be an ola and half of it's going to be ma'aser. Ma'aser, what are we talking about? So let's say we're talking about ma'aser behema, which is really the only thing we could be talking about. All the other ma'asers are grain and fruit oriented. So we're talking here about an animal. So let's say we're talking about ma'aser behema. I want half the kedusha to be ola, I want the other half to be ma'aser behema. Now that's really strange. I want to inject Meiser Behema Kedusha into the animal. That's not how it works. How does Meiser Behema work? The way Meiser Behema works is you count animals coming out of your pen. 1 through 10, and then number 10 is going to be a Meiser Behema. So it's a little bit strange over here that we're even entertaining the idea that if I say that this animal is going to have Meiser Behema Kedusha, that's a statement altogether. You know, it's not so different than what we learned on the Amud Aleph, where the person says, I want to give this Chatas Kedusha, when the person is not obligated carbon chatas. That's the way Rashi explained the Gemara. So this is similar. So different, I call Ola Kreva. So everyone's in agreement that's going to be offered as an Ola. Rav Meir and Rav Yossi will both agree. Why will they both agree? It's very simple. Because your statement of, I want to have Meister Kedusha, just reject it. Meaning we ignore it. It doesn't mean anything. The Amar Chetzi Tumor V'Chetzi Meister Mai. What if you say that half of it's going to be Tumura, and the other half is going to be a miser. Now, half of it's going to be tumor, half of it's going to be a miser. So, what exactly is happening over here? So what you want to do is you want to try to invest two kedushas in the animal, and two of them which are at this point in time non-existent, but is either going to be materialized into the ace animal. So tumur kreva shekeinu hagas b'chol hakadashim. On one hand, tumura, you can tumura nearly every carbon. You could tumura nola, you could tumura shlamim, you could tumura toda, right? Achatas, although it's the sign for death. You can tumura nasham, you could tumura all different types of carbonos. However, when it comes to ma'aser behema, of course, is only one type of carbon. Odilma, on the other hand, ma'aser kreva shekein makdish lefanav la'acharav. On the other hand, the Kedushas Ma'aser Behema is going to be Nikrav, because remember, as we've discussed numerous times, not only is the 10th animal have Kedusha, but under certain circumstances, so will the 9th animal have limited Kedusha. The 11th animal, if called number 10, is going to have Kedusha Shlamim. So you see that 10 can also manifest and increase and grow and become a Kedusha other Karbonos as well. So the Gemara Teiku leaves this question unresolved. When I'm trying to inject a Kedusha into an animal where neither Kedusha really does exist, are we going to look at either one of those, so to say, non-existent Kedushas being able to materialize in an animal? And the Gemara leaves this question unresolved.
How could it be Maser Krevus? It has to go through to the deer, the
right.
Correct.
So the question on the table is that this Gemara, these two last pieces of Gemara are really difficult to understand. We're talking about a Kedushas Meiser Behema on an animal where it's not being counted. How can we even entertain such a discussion? Again, it goes back to what we said earlier. Such a Kedusha doesn't exist. So how can the Gemara even be entertaining it? So the bottom tosis on this Amud, I'm going to direct you there. You see the Re over there gives a different shot than the one that I offered. I said it like Rashi. The Re says a different shot in the Gemara where at least it works out a little bit better on how we can entertain Meiser Behema. So see the Bam Tosos for that discussion. Okay, we're about to start the new Mishnah. Let's just quickly recap. Since the last Mishnah and basically through our entire Sugya, we talked about where a person wants to give two Kedushos onto one animal. So obviously the animal cannot be offered with those two Kedushos on those one animals, but which Kedusha is going to take effect? The first one you stated or both? Machlokes Shin Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. This is the classic debate of Tvos Lashon Rishon versus whether or not we allow him to finish his sentence. Rav Meir says Tvos Lashon Rishon. Rav Yossi says we take both into consideration. We saw this in the Mishnah. We saw this in Brises as well. Brises entertain other types of kedushas that are going to rest on the animal, but effectively that is what we've been discussing, sis. We also learned together the statement of Rav Yochanan, when I have an animal that's owned by two partners, and one is being makdish his 50%, and then buys out the other partner, and is makdish the second 50%, is it going to be able to be offered as a carbon? The answer is no. And why? So for three points that we learned out together. One, that kedushas damim is nidcha. Once I inject a kedushas damim into an animal, and then even though later on I could give it kedushas aguf, but once it's rejected, that rejection is permanent. Two, Balei Chaim can be rejected according to Rav Yochanan. And three, is Dichui Meikara is considered Dichui. So for those three reasons, and those three big ideas, so Rav Yochanan would not allow this carbon to be offered on the Mizbeach. It can replicate and create a Temura, but the Temura is going to have the same status as it. Okay, Adkan.
In terms of the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, which one do you
Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi over Rav Meir. We start the Mishnah. We're on Chav Vav Amad Beis. Hare Zu Tacha Zu. Temura Zu. Chalifas Zu. Hare Zu Temura. Which languages create Temura? So obviously the language of Temura creates a Temura. That part's clear. But the Mishnah over here goes over other languages which are excellent substitutes for the word substitute. So the Mishnah says if you say Tacha Zu or Temura Zu, oh, Khalifa Zu. So those are all languages that speak to the idea of Temura. And so therefore, if in fact you use any of those three languages in order to transfer the Kedusha from one carbon to another, those are all languages that are effective. Zu michulales al zu, ein ze Temura. If however you say michulal, so that's not the language of Temura. Michulal is to deconsecrate. So if I'm trying to deconsecrate an animal so that its Kedusha is going to be strip from one animal and move to another animal. So this is not the language of Temura, and you're not violating Temura. Now here we get to one of the points which is really subtle and super nuanced, and it's something which really we could have discussed in day one of the Masechta. And that is that really there are two totally distinct ideas, even though they're really similar to one another. One, there's the idea of Temura. The idea behind Temura is that what I want to do is I want to transfer the Kedusha from this animal to another animal. The Torah says don't do it. You're not allowed to do it. Now, if you do so, it's effective. And v'ayahu smurasa yekodesh. The original animal retains its kedusha, and the second animal has kedusha. Now, that's an idea of temura, where basically what I want to do is I want transfer. Okay. And then there's the idea of to be mechalal. To be mechalal means I want to deconsecrate this animal from its kedusha, and then after deconsecrated, I want the Kedusha to go to another animal. Now again, they sound very similar to one another. It sounds more or less the same. It's not. You see, in Temura, what I'm attempting to do is that I want the Kedusha. I just simply want it on a different animal. I feel like what I can do is I can just simply take the Kedusha and just transfer it from one animal to another animal. But in other words, but I'm really essentially, I want that Kedusha, but just moved over to something else. That the Torah does not want.
Equalizing. Two equal ones.
Assume.
Not necessarily transferring one from the other.
Right. When it comes to being mechalal, so the being mechalal means that what I want right now is I want to deconsecrate this animal. Now, mind you, by the way, and I know we all know this, but I'm just reminding. If the animal's a tamim, you can't deconsecrate it. Once an animal has kedushas aguf, it's not eligible for chilul, obviously. And so therefore, if I make an attempt to be mechal an animal that's a tamim, that simply does not work. We all know that. So if I'm attempting to be mechal on an animal that is a tamim, it just simply isn't effective. What can I be mechal? Obviously, what I could be mechal is an animal that's a bamum. But that's fine. Not only is that fine, that's what you're supposed to do. Once the animal grazes and develops a blemish, you're supposed to be mechal and remove the kedusha and take it off that animal. Now, if you want to then, afterwards, after your mechala, you want to then bring the kedusha onto another animal, you are perfectly within your right to do so. And again, it's more than within your right. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take the kedusha and move it onto another animal. And here's what you could do as well. You could be mechala the kedusha from this animal, balmum, and move it directly to another animal. You don't have to take it onto coins and then onto an animal. You could take the mechulal, the deconsecrated kedusha, and move it directly to another animal. Now, if you think about it, it's amazing. Meaning, if I have a bal mum animal, and I say something that affects tamura, that you shouldn't have done. And not only that, you're going to be subject to malchus. If I instead use the word mechulal, well, that's okay. And not only is that okay, that's what you're supposed to do. So again, these two ideas, I put them side by side. They seem very similar to one another, but they're not the same.
You're redeeming the
end. Right.
If they're mechulal, why are we going through the coins then? There are so many cases that you go through the coins. Why do we need to go through the coins if you can do a bal mum mechulal to
sometimes you don't have another animal there. You could be mechala. You could be mechala onto coins.
So when you graze it and you have a defect, then you can just another animal. You
correct.
Can just transfer it without any
absolutely correct.
The coins.
Right. So hareze tamura zu mechulal zazu ein ze tamura. Now, if the hektish was a bamum, you have to lechulin. V'tzaruch lasos damim. Making sure, however, that whatever I'm transferring the kedusha from a bamum onto, in other words, if I'm doing so through the process of deconsecration, just make sure that what you're deconsecrating onto is going to have equivalent value to the animal. Otherwise, you're shortchanging hektish. Now, lameimra. So, in our Mishnah, what do we have? The languages that speak to tamura, the languages that speak to mechulal. And basically, give me a moment. So basically, what we have over here is we have three languages that are clearly connected to tamura. We have tachas, tamura, and chalifa. We have one language that's connected to chilul, which is mechulal. Okay. The Gemara starts off lamemer de tachas lishon datfusehu v'riminu. So really, tachas is a language of tamura. The Gemara says, I don't think so. Kachei bedek abayis. If I'm trying to transfer the Kedusha of Bedek HaBayis, now remember, Bedek HaBayis is not even subject to Tamura. There is no Tamura as it relates to Bedek HaBayis. There's only one thing when it comes to Bedek HaBayis, deconsecration. And so therefore, when I have something that belongs to Bedek HaBayis, and I use a language of Tamura Khalifa, it's a totally ineffective statement because there is no Tamura to talk about. Tachazu mechulalas al zu dvarv kayamim. If, however, I say tachas or mechulalas, so then those are good words. Those effect chilul. Now the question is pretty clear. In other words, the word mechulal certainly speaks to deconsecration. Tachas in our Mishnah applies to tamura, not to chilul. In the brisa we just learned by Bedek HaBayis, tachas meant chilul. So v'isa gadach lishna detfusehu maishna reisha maishna seifa. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between the reisha and the seifa if tachas actually is the language of tamura? Clearly the Braisa does not think so. The Braisa thinks it's a language of chilul. Amar Abayi tachas mishkachala lishna dat fusiv lishna da chulei. So the Gemara says, Abayi says, look, tachas, it's ambiguous. Tachas can actually work both as a language of tamura and a language of chilul. So lishna dat fusiv, lishna dat fusiv lishna da chulei. Lishna dat fusi dichsiv, we're on the top of Chavzayin Amar Aleph. V'im tachteha tamor abaheres. Instead of the baheres that Saras that you once upon had, it was replaced by another. So you see over there that the word tachas over there is replacement. And that's like tamura. On the other hand, dachule dichsiv, we also speak about in terms of consecration, because the pasuk says, tachas anachoshes avizahav. Instead of nechoshes, what I'm instead going to bring is zahav. So that's not transfer. That's going to be to take this one away and instead give this one. That's chilul. V'hilcha gabi kachim mizbeach da'avdin tamura lishna da'tfusehi. So if we're talking about kedushas mizbeach, meaning a karban, where there it's tamura a bowl. I know I made up that word. I know I did. But it is eligible for tamura, okay, if you like that better. So it's eligible for tamura, so under those circumstances, so there the kedusha isn't going, the word tachas is actually going to speak to tamura. But when it comes to bedek habayis, where it's not eligible for tamura, so therefore the word tachas can be understood at its second interpretation. Meaning, if you will, by the way, you look up the word tachas in the dictionary. Don't try this at home. I'm just giving you an example. There are going to be two definitions for the word tachas. It could mean tamura, it could mean it could mean to be mechala. Well, which one? Context. If I'm dealing with a karban, temura. If I'm dealing with bedek habayis, so then it's going to be chila. Amar Rav afilu bekach mizbech mishkachal alishna da'achula hu kigon shaya hektish ba'mum. So on that, Rav says here, I want to add one more point. Rav says that let's say that you're dealing with kashim mizbeach, it's a karban, but it's a ba'mum, and I use the word tachas. So what did I mean? Did I mean tamura, or did I mean mechulal? Well, since there's a possibility for mechulal, so therefore what I meant is mechulal. Now, I happen to like this idea of Rav because, look, what are your two options? Your two options is either to violate an iser, or to do it correctly. So it's nice to think that the person meant to do the correct thing, which is deconsecration, as opposed to just simply transferring the Kedusha. Transferring the Kedusha, that's an Isser of Temura. Ah, that's not what he meant. What he meant by the word Tachas is to be Mechalel, to deconsecrate it, and then to transfer that deconsecrated value onto another animal.
Yeah, but when you have a Temura, you have to have the other Bahama in front of you.
Amar Rav Ashi, oh, so very good. Amar Rav Ashi, afilu babamum nami, mishkachal alishna da'achule, o mishkachal alishna da'atfuse. So Rav Ashi says, even in our scenario where I have a karban and it's a balmum, and I'm now going to be bringing that kedusha onto another animal, and I'm going to be using the word tachas, which has that ambiguity. It could either mean tamura, it could be mechulal. So over here, the context of the scenario will tell us what he meant. E akodesh chol have. Yado akodesh chol have. If what he wanted to do is to deconsecrate, his hand would have been on the karban, on the balmum karban. His focus now is, and he says the word tachas. So his focus over here is a removal of the kedusha from this animal. That's fine. That's mechulal. Yado achol kodesh hava. But if his hand was on the second animal, so what he clearly is attempting to do over here is a direct transfer from one animal to another. And that would be the violation of Temura. So,
I'm just asking.
Okay, I'm with you. But the Gemara here is just speaking to the concepts more than it's just the logistics and the actual pragmatics of the case. The concept is that whether or not he is trying to affect Temura or deconsecration is which animal is he focusing on? Focusing on the original animal and just simply saying, I want Tachas. So what he's doing is deconsecration. If his focus is on the other animal, he clearly is looking for that direct transfer, which is an Isser of Temura. Okay, so the Mishnah gave us the various Lashonos that speak to the idea of Temura. Certainly Khalifa, certainly Temura, that speaks to the idea of Temura. Tachas, as now we have learned the Gemara together, that's ambiguity. Sometimes it can mean Temura, sometimes it can be Mechula. On the other hand, there's the idea of being Mechalo, which you're allowed to do by Bedek Abayis, which you're allowed to do by a karban, which is a balmum. So if the person says mechalal, so clearly under those circumstances, he meant to deconsecrate. If he says either temura or chalifus, he meant to affect temura, which works, but is an isser. If he said tachas, so the Gemara gave us a nuanced approach of what tachas could mean. It could sometimes mean temura, it could sometimes mean chilo, and it's just a question of the context of the scenario.